So here's my question this morning, and it might be a question that many of you have. What does the future hold for Evangelical Free Church? Now, you've had a great minister here with Pastor John. But he retired, like some of us pastors do, and in the process of moving on. Some look ahead to the future with excitement. Some look ahead to the future with a bit of anxiety. It is a human thing to want to know what is coming and what is happening as far as the future is concerned. In fact, in many ways, it's a fairly large industry, whether it's weather forecasting or financial forecasting or other kinds of forecasting, because we as humans, we want to know what to expect. I don't know if you're like I am, but just about every day I look at a weather report. Okay, how hot is it going to be today? And I try to prepare myself for that. You probably try to prepare yourself, too, for the future. But, as you have no doubt discovered, often when you go through all of this preparation ritual, it does not always go according to your expected script. And we as humans have all sorts of mechanisms to try to soften that and moderate that. Usually we start with education. You know, if we're fairly well educated, then, you know, it will probably work, you know. And if that doesn't quite work out, then we go to legislation, you know. And further, we go to insurance. You know, if something doesn't work, then we've got some padding, something to do. And if none of those work, then we just litigate. And that's how things go. So I'd like us to explore just a little bit here about how we need to approach, how we need to look at this season of transition. Every one of you have some expectations. Some of them might be accurate. More than likely, it will be just a little bit different. So I'd like us just to explore that just for a little bit today. I'd like you to turn to one of my favorite books in Scripture, the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 1, where a whole group of people are in transition. Before we dive into this too heavily, I want to just tell you a little story about me. We're in transition. We are in the process of moving, relocating our primary residence. People say, why would you move from Paradise to anywhere else? What a come down. Well, just know that children and grandchildren are a huge magnet. Some of you know that. And in order to be closer to them, we're making some relocation. But in the process of that, control freak that I am, to sign some papers, we had to go to this region. And as I was returning, driving on the labyrinth maze of the L.A. region freeways, I got lost. Now, for a control freak person, that is not a good thing. Because before I turn on the ignition of my automobile, I always look at the map to make sure I'm in control and know where the destination is, what the route looks like, and so on. Now, I'd like to blame it on construction. I would never blame it on an inattentive driver who missed the road signage. But I did what all good navigators do. I pulled to the side of the freeway, activated my flashers, pulled out the map, and tried to figure out where I was. That was not very helpful at that point. So I happened to have an old GPS system in my glove box. I pulled that out, and one of the things that's always in there, where to? Home. And I pushed home. And then we started off. And it worked. Here I am. So, but here's the thing. Most of the time, in fact, all of the time, I have not really discovered a spiritual GPS system or program for churches in transition. But what we are going to do is look at the historic text that gives us light, as we sang just a moment ago, on the path ahead, so that as we proceed with transition, we will be able to have those, what I call, channel markers of the text and the Holy Word of God to give us the guidance that will give us confidence as we move ahead. So, I hope you found Joshua 1. If you have an electronic copy, that's okay. I'm a paper guy. But I'd like you to follow as I read. I'll be reading from the New Living Translation, which has become my favorite in recent years. I can hear my Hebrew professor, Dr. Beitzel, translating this, so it's sort of become personal with me. Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. Hear the word of the Lord. After the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant. He said, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, the time has come for you to lead these people, the Israelites, across the Jordan River into the land I am giving them. I promise you what I promised Moses. Wherever you set your foot, you will be on land that I have given you, from the Negev Desert in the south to Lebanon Mountains in the north, from the Euphrates River in the east to the Mediterranean Sea on the west, including all the land of the Hittites. No one will be able to stand against you as long as you live. For I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail you or abandon you. So be strong and courageous. For you are the one to lead these people to possess all the land that I swore to the ancestors I will give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey the instructions the Lord gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or to the left. Then you will succeed in everything you do. Study the book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night so that you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. This is my commandment. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Amen. Brothers and sisters, I believe that this is a text for us at this time. It will give us some of those pillars and bedrock pieces in order to proceed in such a way that God will grant us success. Now, just a little background. The children of Israel had actually been at this place before. Joshua 1 here takes place. They're right on the boundaries of the promised land. And 40 years hence, prior, they had already been there. Go back to Numbers 13. And the report that came back is like, wow, this is a great place, man. It's fruitful. There's rainfall. It's productive. It's beautiful. But you know what? There's giants over there. They're big dudes. I don't think we can do this. Let's go back to the comfort and safety of what we knew in Egypt in slavery. Yeah, it was slavery, but it was predictable. So they lost 40 years in a generation. And now they stand here again, and perhaps many of them are saying, you know, those giants have... they've grown a little bigger in that time. And the city-states there, they have added more fortification. They have trained their armies even better. In fact, the word has gotten across the wilderness that we're coming. And they're bracing for us. And not only that, but we took a walk the other night, and there's this raging river over there. What are we going to do? Now you might feel like that in transition is like, what are we going to do? So I'd like us to explore this text just a little bit. Under this heading, faith in God's promise, God's promises, will give to us the needed courage and confidence to face the future. See, it's not just about us and our expectations or the script that we have designed. The script that God has put in place for us is actually better than the script that we have designed for ourselves. I know your elders have been working on this transition for quite some time. And I'm excited to hear that a new pastor will be joining you in just a few weeks. But here's some things I'd like us to explore just a little bit. What are some of the core promises that God has made? Not just to Joshua in ancient history over 3,000 years ago, but these are eternal promises that come down to us today that we can hang on to, that we can firmly place our feet on so that we will not be shaken in the possible turbulence that might be ahead. Here's the first one. God promises to go with us. I love that. God promises to go with us. And you can see this in several places in this text, verse 3. I promise what I promised Moses. Wherever you go, I'm going to be with you. The end of verse 5. I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail you. I will not abandon you. God never abandons his people. Occasionally his people abandon him, but he will never abandon his people. And then he repeats it at the end of this text, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. That's encouraging and comforting. Moses had heard this several years before, back in Exodus 33. The prelude to that is Exodus 32, where Israel went off and worshiped the golden calf. Remember, he was up on the mountain. They said, something's happened to him. We know we need new gods. So Aaron did his thing. And Moses said, God, unless you go with us, we can't do this. And God promised him with this promise. I will personally go with you. I am there. And you know the story that God manifest himself in the pillar of cloud during the day and the pillar of fire at night, which showed that God was with them to lead them, to guide them place to place through that desert. Now, in case you think this is just an Old Testament promise, you can go to Matthew 28:20, as Jesus gives his great commandment, and he says at the end of that paragraph, and you can be sure of this, I will be with you to the very end. Now, brothers and sisters, that is a comforting promise. God's not going to just lead us out there and go, okay, you're on your own, good luck. He's not going to do that. To Moses, he said, I will personally go with you. So the presence of the sovereign commander of the universe is what causes the fear to shrink and the confidence to grow. I've prayed for you, brothers and sisters, that God would just take some of these promises and re-cement them in your soul today. It's not just for church transitions or pastoral transitions. This is for other transitions that you may face in your life, in your career, in your family, in your neighborhood, in your finances. God says, I will go with you. And here's something that it struck me too. God doesn't just point the way. He actually leads the way. I think that's an important distinction. He's right there. He's right there. And we see this when they cross the river, you know, in chapter 3, where those who represent him, they get to go first. Who goes into the river first? It's those who are representing the Lord. And I always tell elders and those in spiritual leadership, one of the things about leadership is you get to go first. If you don't want to go first, don't be a leader. And that was kind of one of those raging spring runoff rivers. So it's like, okay, we send the pastor into the river first. Yeah, that's kind of how it works. But the Lord is there. Now, here's the second promise. He promises success. He promises success. Again, look at verse 3. What I promised Moses, he says, all this land, north, south, east, and west, wherever you actually walk, I'm going to give it to you. I've already designated. Your name is already on the title. You just have to go and occupy. And then further on, down in end of verse 8, he says the same thing. As you obey, and we'll look at that in just a moment, only then will you prosper and succeed in what you do. Now, he's not talking about some of the theology that goes around today, the prosperity gospel sort of thing. God is the one who defines success and prosperity. And it's always because we're in alignment with him. So those are two sort of introductory promises or introductory bedrock things. God will be with us and he will give us success. There's another piece that I want us to grasp in this. And that is that God is in complete control. Now, sometimes you might say, well, you know, Pastor David, follow me around this week and you might revise that statement. Actually, I won't revise that statement. Because I've read the book, and for 3,000 plus years, God is in control, even in circumstances where we may not always see His control. See? And in the end, by the way, I tell people, if you get discouraged, read the last chapter. It's called the Book of the Revelation. In fact, we're going to dip there just in just a bit. Because God demonstrates His finality and His control. And those who follow Him experience the blessing of moving along under His control. Two parts. He controls the past. And sometimes you look back and say, wow, and that's happened to me so many times. Look back and say, that was a God thing. I tried to script that, and God rearranged it, and His script was better than my script. Has that ever happened to you? It's like, wow, God, I couldn't have done that. How did you do that? And I think God just smiles and says, yeah, that's what I do. I love it. Well, the book of Deuteronomy, in several places, in chapter 8 and chapter 29, God continues to tell them and remind them through Moses before his departure that this is what I want you to remember. Look what I did in Egypt, how I delivered you. I displayed my power. Look at when you crossed the Red Sea. Look at the process that I gave you food. I gave you guidance. I gave you all that you needed during that extensive journey through the wilderness. He was in control of that. He was in control of that. The other thing I want us to know is that God is in control of the future. See, and he says that sort of extensively there in verse 3. Wherever you go, I've already given you the land. I'm the controller, and I'm going to give it to you. See, sometimes we go, oh, God, look at my future. This is too big for you, God. I don't think you can manage this. Now, we don't say that out loud, at least not in church stuff. But sometimes in our mind, we might say that. Say, God, you're out of your league, man. I want you to know, God is never out of His league. Ever. But the people were feeling a little bit bereft because their beloved leader, Moses, was gone. In fact, he states it there quite clearly. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, people say, well, yeah, that's right. But, you know, he has this thing. He goes up in the mountains, you know, and he does this thing. But he'll be back in a few days. Just wait. God says, no, not this time. But Joshua, you're going to help these people navigate into the future. So here's what you need to do. Here's what you need to do. In fact, I just want to share with you a verse that has helped me many, many, many times. Turn to the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 1. There is a verse there that sort of encapsulates this theme that God is in control of the past and God is in control of the future. It's Revelation chapter 1, verse 8. In fact, this very theme is repeated four times in the book of the Revelation. Here it is. Jesus speaking to the churches, speaking to the Apostle John. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first letter of the Greek alphabet and the last letter. I am the beginning and the end, says the Lord God. I am the one who is, who always was, and who is still to come. What He's telling us, I've got it all covered. All of the past, all of the present, all of the future, because my name is Almighty One. I can do this. Brothers and sisters, during transition, this is a great text. Duct tape this to your soul and let it stick there and review it as you make the passage. So here's God's promises that will give us the confidence, the courage. But then He goes on to give us some practical response. And I want us to look at this briefly. There are three of them that will actually help us to connect with a God who has made these kinds of promises. Here's the first one. Well, let's read the verses in verse 8. He's condensed those into verse 8. Be careful to study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night, so that you will be sure to obey everything written in it. There's three injunctions there. I want to unpack that for just a moment. The first is this. Be careful to study continually. Yeah, we go to church to do that. We go to Sunday school. We go to Bible study. However, continually actually here means continually. And if you go back to the book of Deuteronomy, it tells us that they were supposed to do this on a regular basis. The early church did it. You know, the prophets. It's not something that we just dart into church, you know, get a little sample of God, dart out, study continually. So, you know, let me just put it in sidebar. Sometimes Christians feel like they can run a whole week on a Sunday sample of fuel. Could I just encourage you to do this on a daily basis? Yes. Nod your head yes if you're with me on this. This is so important. One of the steady habits of my life in these years is that every morning, with my cup of coffee, this is what I do. God and me have some time. It is sweet. It gets sweeter every year. If you haven't experienced that, could I give you a pastoral exhortation to launch into that? To study, to read continually. The second piece of this is to be careful to meditate constantly. Notice how he puts it in the text here. He says, I want you to meditate on it day and night. Not just a sample here and a sample there, a quick shot here, something over there. Meditate day and night. In fact, he tells them, he's already told them through Moses back in Deuteronomy 6 what that might look like. Now, some people, what does meditate mean? Well, he's not into the thing here. This is like rumination. Allowing the text to actually work its way into the fabric of your thinking, into the fabric of your soul. You see, the teaching part, the reading part, will get it into your brain. Meditation gets it into your soul. It becomes part of the DNA, part of the fabric of your thinking, part of your core values, part of the engine room of your life. That's what it means. I often think of the word immersion in that. Just immerse yourself. In fact, in Deuteronomy 6:9, he explains this. Repeat this over and over to your children. Talk about it when you are traveling. Talk about it when you get up. Talk about it when you go to bed. Write it on the doorpost of your house. Write it on your forehead. In other words, he's talking immersion. In fact, based on this verse, one of the house that we're going to be moving into was, when we bought it, there was just dirt. But there's a house there now. So we had to go and do what they call a framed walkthrough. In other words, to see if there were outlets and that kind of stuff. And so we had an idea. Based on Deuteronomy 6, on writing the word on the doorpost, and we selected about 8 scripture texts. And Lois went around with her big marker. And we could do this because it was just, you know, a framed house. And wrote on the door frames the scripture texts. And the one that I love is the one that we wrote in the bedroom. I will lie down and sleep, for you alone, O God, make me dwell in safety. Psalm chapter 4, verse 8. And I think what we might do is actually take some plaques and put them on the wall with those same texts at that same location. So we will be immersed in the text of Holy Scripture. Meditate on it day and night. The third thing is really the result. Be careful to obey consistently. Notice how he puts this. Study the word of instruction continually. Meditate day and night so that you will be sure to obey. Brothers and sisters, that's the bottom line. Spiritual information remains just information until we obey. And as you read through the text of Scripture, you discover what actually happened when they failed to obey. I've just finished reading the book of Judges. What a sorry mess they made there. If you want to be depressed, just read the book of Judges. But don't stop there. Keep going. Keep going. So here it is. As we develop our faith and place it in these promises and instructions that God has given, that will give us the needed courage and confidence to face the transitions of the future. Pastoral transition, other kinds of transitions. I encourage you, brothers and sisters, to place your confidence in the one who is the Almighty. By the way, there's nothing in the future that God goes, oh, no, what are we going to do now? That never happens to God. He's already been there. He knows. And the route that you have chosen might look good to you today. But in fact, God will take you corporately and individually on a superior route to that. Our confidence is in the guide, not in just the pleasure of the route. Because sometimes the route may be tough. But that's part of the faith-building workshop that God wants to continue to craft our souls through that process. Story after story in the text of Scripture indicate that to be the case. So remember, he's promised his presence. He's promised his prosperity according to his definition. He's promised his power. As we are careful to study continually, careful to meditate constantly, and careful to obey consistently. Those are key. Those are key. And then in case they missed it or he missed it, in verse 9 he repeats it. So here it is again. Be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid. What kind of anxiety or fear might you be experiencing? It might not be related to a corporate or a community transition. Maybe it's in your life. Maybe you got a pink slip recently. Maybe the bank is saying, you know what? You got to do something here. You're behind on your mortgage. How do you navigate a transition like that? It could be in family relationships. I don't know what you're facing. You may be in the middle of a transition. In fact, as humans, we're either coming out of one or we're going into one. That's kind of how it works. But I want you to know, God doesn't just point the way. God leads the way. I will go with you, provided we stay with him. Now see, God is, in his amazing grace, gives us the option of wandering off. But given all of this, why would we do that? And yet we do. Maybe you've wandered off a little bit today. I don't know. Friend, today would be a good day to embrace this text. Say, God, forgive me. I kind of wandered off here. I've failed to look at the text continually. I failed to meditate constantly. I haven't been consistent in my obedience. I want to start a fresh page today. Would you join me in prayer? Oh, gracious, loving, Heavenly Father. Today we give you thanks for these incredible promises, the promises of your presence, promises of your power, the promise that you will guide us, you'll be with us. Father, we know this, but in a sense we need to be refreshed and reminded. Thank you for the reminder. Continue to remind us that you are the sovereign commander in complete control of past, present, and future. Father, we reach out to you and ask that you would grant to us the courage and confidence to face those transitions in the future. Based on these bedrock principles. Thank you for the assurance that you give to us that the future is secure. It is as secure as those promises that you have made to us. May we embrace them afresh today. We give you praise and thanks. In the name of Jesus, amen.